Good morning, everyone. We are broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. We'd like to begin our show by acknowledging that Film Picnic is recorded on the territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. These ancestral lands continue to be home for the Indigenous communities from which they are stolen, which is why we refer to it as unceded territory.
It is with immense privilege that we talk into these microphones and share our stories, as stories have been shared for generations before us on this land. We hope that Film Picnic can be a space for shared accountability, knowledge sharing, and reconciliation. This always was and always will be Indigenous land.
For those of you who are new to the show, perhaps tuning in for the first time, here on Film Picnic, we pick a topic relating to the film industry and either use extensive research or guest insight to debunk it. Guest episodes are always so fun for getting the inside scoop on things.
Yeah, I love them.
Our guest today is Turkish-Canadian filmmaker, the founder of IndieVision, a creative Vancouver-based filmmaking group that aims to foster independent filmmaking projects. Also a student at the University of British Columbia, he has written and directed 5 short films, The Butterfly Effect, Paradox, Kill Your Darlings, Peace of Mind, and most recently, Always Forever. Welcome to the show, Tibet Karayazgan.
Yay!
It's honestly great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for being here.
You were on our top list when we first started brainstorming who should we have on the show. Mm. You were up there in our first conversation, because I feel like IndieVision in particular is such a community at UBC, and that's what Film Picnic is all about, community building, and you've done a great job of that. So
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
No, it's great. I think that's been... I mean, IndieVision, I think, well, obviously, listeners, we're going to get into it. We're going to hear all about it, but...
We have questions.
I don't know. I think it's like such a great entry point that you've helped establish for the aspiring filmmaking community at UBC. And yeah, initially when we were plotting back in April, we were like, who do we want to talk to? Who has some good things to say? So this feels full circle. I'd describe it as that.
I would describe it as that. And we're all friends. Lest we forget. Let's note that.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We know each other.
Yeah. Just on like a very, very baseline level. What is IndieVision? How was it born? Give us the deets.
Okay. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I get that question a lot. And honestly, I don't know if there's just one specific answer that captures the real essence of it. Mm. It's essentially a film collective, and I don't want it to be a production house. I don't want it to be a studio at this point. I think more so it's a community that I want to foster. I think it's like a gateway for those emerging filmmakers who have no experience or, you know, little experience to get exposure to film sets. Mm. And yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think something really awesome about IndieVision is that there are a lot of film spaces, but not a lot of spaces, I think, for students who are not like studying film in particular. And I feel like IndieVision is a great space for everybody who's interested or just wants to have a role and just wants to have experience on set, whether they've been on a set before or never in their lives. They can do that and be a part of it without that, you know, I'm sure everyone feels imposter syndrome, but that feeling of, oh, I need to know what I'm doing to be here. That's not necessarily...
That is absolutely not. Yeah. It's encouraged for everyone. I also feel the imposter syndrome sometimes. And I'm
as
like,
the founder and president.
And I'm like, do I belong here? But yeah, it's open for everyone.
That's
great. I feel like there really is so... There's like no barrier to access other than like, oh, fill out a Google form. And it, like, if you could do that, then fantastic.
Yeah.
What do you know what the current scale of it is? Like how many people are involved at this point?
In the group, I think there are roughly 150 people.
Okay.
So even a jump from last year.
No, absolutely. I think this year we had quite a bit of momentum thanks to my team, Kenneth and Sarah. I think they really helped me scale up the process, and they're wonderful. And yeah, honestly, this year, I think it has gained momentum, which, you know, it's nice to have some, you know, to see that growth.
Yeah, I mean, you started it. Did you initially start it as an AMS club, which AMS, by the way, guys, is our student society here at UBC.
Alma Mater Society.
Alma Mater. I don't know. But did you start it? Was that your initial, like, thought, I want it to be a UBC club? Or was it more of an independent collective and then you kind of leveraged the UBC club aspect of it? Do you get funding from UBC at all?
No, no. Okay. So, okay.
So many questions in one, sorry.
You're good. I'll give you the whole, like, context of
Please.
It. In my second year, I was part of the film society, mm-hmm. the film club that we have here. And, you know, they're a great club, but I feel like they don't produce as many films. I mean, obviously, for obvious
reasons.
Isn't it
like two a year or something?
Yeah, roughly like that. And I was like, that's pretty cool. But I kind of want to create something that would allow for more filmmakers and for emerging filmmakers to make films as well. Mm. So I tried to create a club after I shot my first short film here, Kill Your Darlings.
Kill Your Darlings, I remember that.
And, you know, I was lucky enough to find a beautiful crew. Mm-hmm. That's how I met Berkeley. My friend Andrew also helped me with that.
Yeah.
So we were like, while we're at it, why don't we also create a club? But then our application got rejected from AMIS because they told us that there was already a film club. That's why
politics.
There's different types of film, you guys.
it's okay. You know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And right now we operate outside of AMS.
Oh, okay.
And so we're not AMS affiliated at all. It's sort of like,
oh,
yeah.
So you are your own standing club collective.
Basically.
Wait, that's so cool.
How would you describe the connection to UBC? Because I feel like saying UBC affiliated suggests maybe that your members are solely UBC people, but that's not really the case.
That's not really the case. I mean, it started out that way, but through Facebook groups and just like word of mouth, I feel like it kind of spread across Vancouver, and we have quite a few people from outside of UBC as well. So everyone is welcome. It's not, you know, specifically for UBC students at all.
Yeah.
Right. I will say on the Indivision productions that I've gotten to be a part of so far, there are, like we were just talking about in our last episode on community building. I feel like, yeah, there's people that I've met on Indivision sets that I wouldn't have met in the UBC sphere. And now we're like collaborating on scripts together, and it's great. It's just a tool for meeting people and kind of, you know, getting material going. I think the point about just, you know, like obviously it's great to have the resources that a club like being part of the AMS can provide, but at the same time also limits a little bit of what you're able to do, whereas Indivision, everything being all so self-started, it's like if you have the determination to make it happen, you can make it happen, which I think is fantastic.
I have a question on that note. So okay, you function outside of the AMS, which means you're not funded by the AMS, and you have managed to produce so many high quality films with literally zero budget. I would love to hear you speak a little bit more on that, what that process has been like. Like, what barriers do you face? I mean, I'm sure a lot, but what barriers do you face when having a zero budget film versus, I mean, still $1,000 is not a huge amount, but
that's a great question. I feel like for my own films, it's so far, so many people have advised me to actually pursue funding. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not something that I'm super experienced in, so I've never really, like, tried it, which I should have. Absolutely, yeah. But so far, it's only been me working at part-time jobs to sort of save up the money for funding my own films.
Yeah.
And for the other productions that we do through Indivision, I wouldn't want to take any credit. It's mostly the filmmakers. They raise funds by their own efforts, which I really admire. For example, last year, Stella and her DP, Ryan, they sort of baked.
I remember
and
this.
And then they had a bake sale, and they raised, you know, the necessary amount of funds for their film, which was, you know, very impressive.
Don't underestimate the power of a bake sale, you guys.
Absolutely. Like, it was super impressive.
Especially on a university campus. Kids are hungry.
The people want baked goods, for real. They want baked goods.
It's definitely a good, you know, source of income.
Mm.
And for the five projects that we're doing right now, there are like various, you know, sort of ideas thrown around. You know, there's like spins or like selling other stuff, getting donuts and then selling them, you know, all types of like typical stuff that you hear. And it's, I think it is what makes indie filmmaking phenomenal in a level, because it's not like you're not given all the resources and then you just create your own film. You sort of have to earn.
You have to earn it.
You have to earn it.
Makes it even better.
Yeah.
So it's mostly like community-based fundraising rather than funding applications and doing all of that
basically
kind of stuff. Awesome. Right.
So when you've got a pitch that IndieVision has accepted and decided to produce, is there any kind of guidance for the filmmakers about how to get funding, or you're kind of just like, this is the budget that you've presented, make it happen?
No, we try to assist as much as possible. Mm. Obviously, Chenith is the VP Productions, so I mainly work with him in sort of assisting and making these projects. We offer our guidance. We try to help in there. You know, there are some Indiegogo or GoFundMe pages. Mm. We sort of assist with the like crafting of those specific pages.
Mm-hmm.
We try to advertise those projects on our Instagram account. And it's mostly just sort of, you know, we're there for you. Mm-hmm. You're going to make this happen. And then we'll make sure that you need all the help that you can get from us.
Yeah. Rather than we're doing it for you.
Yeah.
We're there to support with what you ask us for.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's great. I will say too, like, could you speak to maybe the positive impact that social media has had on IndieVision, and just kind of how that, because IndieVision does exist in one form, I know, as a group chat, as like a living group chat on Instagram. Like, how has the social media presence changed the collective or helped it grow?
Good question, Georgia.
You know,
it's honestly, I would say it really helps just keep everything in one place.
Mm.
There are some limitations. For example, as far as I'm concerned, the group chat limit is 250 people. So sometimes I think about that and I'm like, okay, so what happens?
What does the future look like?
Start a threat? Actually, I don't know how Instagram works.
We were just discussing this. We do not know how Instagram works.
I am a boomer, a millennial. I don't know.
Honestly, I would say I am too. So that's an issue.
I'm using the weird fonts and I'm like, hi, everyone.
Where do I put this on the screen?
What a beautiful Thursday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Yesterday, I was asking someone, I was like, can I access a draft on if I am looking at Instagram on my computer? And I was like, that feels like a really...
Feels like a question. Also, scheduling posts, we learned that from our editor. Why did we not know that before?
Like, yeah.
I've worked...
You can do that?
I've worked as... You can do that. You can schedule posts on Instagram.
This is Instagram 101.
Yeah, you can write your caption, you can tag, you can do all of the stuff, and then it'll just post when you want it to. I'm not sure how to do it, but I know that you can. Yeah.
In concept, you know.
In concept, our editor, Jill, has done that. Anyway.
Well, it's happening somehow.
It's happening somehow. We're getting the posts up.
back to what you were saying before we went on this. So, I mean, like, do you think that the like social media presence or being able to advertise the projects online has been a key part of the fundraising? Because, you know, obviously if you're doing a bake sale, that's just foot traffic that you're getting or something like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess in terms of support for the projects, like, how has Instagram played into it, if at all?
I would say that it has an effect. I don't know if it's huge, to be frank.
Mm.
For my own projects, I mean, I was able to raise about $150, which is, you know, absolutely better than nothing.
Yeah.
And I'll take it any day.
Oh, yeah.
But in the greater extent of things, I don't think it's the driving force.
Mm.
I think it's definitely a solid outcome.
Mm.
And, you know, why wouldn't you do it?
Right.
But other way...
Do you feel it's more word of mouth then and like communities?
I would say so.
So this is, again, hello, everybody. Community building is so, so important.
I agree, yeah.
And yeah, well, I think IndieVision hugely has a, you know, there's a large part of it is the UBC community. Everybody has their own networks of people. You connect with one person, you are connected with some of the people in their network, and this people in their network might be interested in being in the next IndieVision production. And
yeah, that terrible vine swinging metaphor I made last time about going from project to project.
Oh,
do you remember that? Maybe you blocked it out. It's okay.
I did block that out.
Yeah, no, as we should have. I'm wondering, Tibet, if you'd talk a little bit about the social events that Indivision hosts, because from my understanding, you've got social events, you've got workshops. Is that something that Indivision has always been doing, or is that kind of a recent development?
So the right answer would be I've always tried to organize events, but because I was just mainly running it myself in the last years,
which is crazy.
Yeah. I could have been better. I think there are things that I could have improved.
Like what?
I feel like I could have been more active. I feel like it's something that I think to this day, but at the same time, you know, you kind of learn from that too.
Yeah.
But this year, especially with help of Sierra, I feel like we're really ramping up the events, because she's mainly responsible of the events, the workshops and stuff that we do. And to be fair with you, I really enjoy gamification. It's part of like my specialization as well. So I always try to integrate a part of that gamified things into our workshops.
And interesting.
We're gonna get to that.
Yeah, I think that interactive aspect of the workshops, I enjoy it as the host. I don't know.
No, you're great. You always do your PowerPoint presentations, questions. Yeah, I like that.
I try my best.
I mean, it creates more of an atmosphere, I feel like, and rather than it just being like, hey, everyone, just talk and meet, having something that you can collectively be doing together and talk about. Like, we did that at our launch party. We had not games, but we had, which, by the way, where were you, Tibet?
I was actually in Turkey.
You were in Turkey.
Otherwise,
it's okay.
I would have been there.
No, it's okay. But we had like crayons for people to do. We had badminton. We had stuff for people to interacting with rather than just themselves, which I think creates more space for natural conversations to come about, and like it's more bonding.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes the pressure off a little bit too.
Yeah.
I will say, I think I would call Spikeball a game. We did have some games.
Yeah, I just mean it's not like a...
Oh, no. Like a
brain teaser.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, I mean, it's... Like, just personally, having been involved with Indivision, I feel like it was really... From the get-go, you are filling out a form, you feel included, you're in this group chat, people are putting out offers. It's really just about what you want to respond to. But I think... You know, the experience of being able to physically go to a place, and even though not every single member of the collective is going to be able to go to every single event, I think there's definitely a really valuable component in just being able to see people face to face and you know, sit down with them and talk about
scripts. In the technology age that we live in,
yes.
It's a huge benefit to be able to sit down with someone.
Guys, I agree so much. I feel like that's a part of our society that we sort of forget. Like, you need that oxytocin.
You do need the oxytocin. You need the...
No, well, it's coming across. The dopamine, serotonin...
All of the things. Those are all beneficial for us as human beings. And I also think that filmmaking is such a collaborative experience.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm thinking about like the films we make in the program. Obviously, not everyone's going to be available at one time, so Zoom happens. But like, I've had conversations with my team about making a concerted effort to actually meet in person rather than doing it over Zoom, because it just, especially with collaborative projects and creative projects, it's just so different. The flow is different.
I agree.
Yeah.
There's a very wholesome community there.
Yeah, 100%.
And I feel like it just helps you get to know people better too. Like, obviously, when you see someone's name coming up on your phone so many times, it's like, okay, like, do you ever have that weird phenomenon of when you've observe someone in the online space for so long, you see them and you can only think of their username?
Yes.
That's so deeply disturbing to me.
Or you're like, wait, do I know you?
Do I know you? Have I just seen you online for a year?
Or, which I have done in the past, been like, oh my gosh, hey! And they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, have we not met? And I realize that I've just been following them for years. And
well, I will say, somehow it works. I literally knew I had observed Hannah in the online space. And that's why I was like, oh, I want to go. I saw you in my class and I was like, that's Hannah. I'm going to go up. I'm going to go say hi.
And I'm glad
look
you
at
did.
Us now.
is that how you guys met?
Yeah, we met in Asian and Australasian cinema. Mm-hmm. And
we were in a class together.
Georgie, that's so awkward. I'm so sorry. I still don't know your name.
You know what? People call me Georgie. Georgia, that's a name I've had.
Georgia came up to me, and then we became, I would say, friends.
Bold assumption. Bold of you to assume, Hannah. And no, but again, like going back to the community thing, like I had interviewed Ethan, who was a mutual friend of ours, and then
Ethan White.
And then I was like, who should I talk to next? And they were like, this is Hannah. And then I was like, okay, Instagram, great. Here's Hannah.
Yay.
And then yeah, I was able to see you in class, and it all worked out very well. I was gonna say too, just on the subject of the socials and kind of workshops that Indievision is putting on, because we've established the community is incredibly important and
yes.
a key part of filmmaking. Has it come to the point yet where you've seen any productions or you had any pitches come in that are from people that I've met at the socials? Or is that...
Yes. I think that happened for the first time this year.
Was that so cool?
How does that make you feel?
Yeah. Honestly, it's great because one of the reasons why I wanted to start it is, yes, like I wanted to help the emerging filmmakers, but also Vancouver could be pretty cruel in terms of making friends. So I wanted to
It's known for that.
That Vancouver freeze is a real thing. And I guess I also wanted to make new friends as well. And, you know, that has been the case. I've met so many really great, talented people, which is incredible. Mm. And I've seen that happen this year, which made me really proud in a way.
Yeah, mind blown. Look at your project is bringing people together.
Exactly. And the great thing is from what I can observe, they've sort of formed this friend group, and in my headcanon they're in this sitcom, you know, they're like friends. Aww. Or like How I Met Your Mother, and that's like
I love that show.
Four young filmmakers in Vancouver.
We should make a documentary.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say too, to give a little shout out to a group that I've observed coming from out of Indievision in cyberspace, Bonfire Productions.
Yes.
A group with Jonathan,
Chenith,
Jada,
Ryan.
And Ryan.
Yes.
Beautiful. And now they're their own little...
Yeah, they have their own production
now
house.
Their own
and...
little
That's
production
so cute.
House.
Yeah.
As all
yeah.
people that met through Indievision.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
To some degree. Well, maybe we'll have them on sometime and we'll suss out the details.
Absolutely, yeah.
I have a question before we go on break.
Let's.
So you're in school right now. Indievision functions within the space of Vancouver. You have 1 year... you graduated in May?
I'm graduating in May.
You were graduating in May, okay.
Yeah.
Have you thought much about what your intentions are with Indievision after you're finished school? Are you passing the baton? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to... What's the...
So it seems like I'll be mostly leaving it to Sierra and Chenith, because they're my vice presidents right now. And then next year, when I am not here, they will be co-presidents of Indievision. And depends on where I move. You know, I really don't know the future. I don't know if I want to know the future at all. But
pre-graduation
anxiety.
I'm
like, let's talk about what are your plans for your future Tibet?
That's horrifying. But...
What's your 5-year plan? Okay, no, yeah, that makes sense. That's passing the baton, letting it continue within this space, potentially.
I think the plan is, like, wherever I move, I want to start a new branch there of Indievision.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like...
Internationalizing it.
Exactly, okay. Yeah.
Globalizing.
Yes, take over. Indievision takeover. No, that'd be fantastic. I mean, I think it's great, too, even for people that have graduated, if you're staying in Vancouver... Because Indievision is not necessarily UBC affiliated.
Yeah.
It's similar to CITR, like it's out of the UBC AMS building, but it's for students and just other community members. So you get that lovely mix.
Yeah, guys, if you didn't know this, Nardwar started here. Nardwar's actually coming in today.
He's coming in today.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Gonna be great. Gonna be cool and good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I'm actually very nervous, but I'm really excited.
I'm going to be at work, but Jordan's going to be here to ask questions on behalf of both of us.
No, it's going
to
be great.
Okay.
Listeners, we are going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a few minutes to continue talking to Tibet about the Indievision Filmmaking Collective. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Tune your radio to the CITR 101.9 FM on a Tuesday, specifically at 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. for saxophone Hella Permitti or saxophone La Nuit. Hosted by moi, accompanied with the improvisationalists, saxophonists, composers, and musicians of our great era since the 70s. Featuring artists such as Anthony Braxton, Albert Ehler, Solange, Ghostface Killah, Ornette Coleman, Sonny Rollins, that's 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. on a Tuesday to listen to saxophone a la Permitti or saxophone La Nuit.
The leaves are browning, and I'm pissed! Does anybody relate to this? Oh my god, you're right, Angels. I gotta read some Discorder magazine.
Really, no one can be blamed but myself for holding out hope that this world could only contain a certain amount of cruelty.
God damn!
Were I to make a choice again, I would spend a week collecting all the broken glass and rusty shards I can from across the city and form a nest with which I will lay myself to my grave. Oh my god, I've never felt so seen. Thank you, Discorder magazine.
Finally, someone understands!
And for the rest of you in the Lower Mainland, find voices that you connect to in this issue of Discorder. You can find all of the distribution locations by visiting citr.ca/discorder/subscribe/.
It is time to get your spook on. And there's nothing like getting spooky with a good horror film. And this time, Slashback is coming right at you on October 24th. Slashback is a horror film that features Micah and her ragtag group of friends as they take on an alien invasion in their tiny Arctic hamlet. And it's up to them to fight back using makeshift weapons and horror movie knowledge. Arts Indigenous Student Advising is putting on Slashback, a film directed by an Inuit director and set in Nunavut. The horror film will be playing at the Norm Theater this October 24th. Only $5 entry for public, and it's free for all UBC Indigenous students. Doors at 5:45 p.m. We'll see you at the Norm Theater this October 24th. Experience the world of education this Saturday, October 26th at the Vancouver Convention Center. You can meet with top universities, graduate schools, and professional schools from Canada and around the world. Register online to stay up to date and check in at the fair to be eligible for prizes, including a free flight to anywhere in the world on Air Canada. Explore your future with Study and Go Abroad this October 26th by registering now at studyandgoabroad.com/Vancouver/. studyandgoabroad.com/Vancouver/.
And we're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm Georgia.
And I'm Hannah.
And you're listening to Film Picnic. For those of you that may just be tuning in, we are here with Tibet Karayazgan, who is talking to us about his independent filmmaking collective, Indivision.
Icon.
Icon, certainly. A great word to describe it. We've talked a little bit about Indivision. We'd like to know about your personal journey.
We were joking a second ago about how we were going to ask him really deep and personal questions.
You know what? It's not too deep. I think personally we're really interested because
you have a unique perspective.
Yes, Hannah and I are both film students. Hannah film production, me film studies. From our understanding, you're sciences.
Mm-hmm. So COGS, to be specific.
Yes, cognitive systems.
Okay,
cognitive systems.
So was filmmaking? Yes, was filmmaking something that was like an independent interest that kind of developed separately, or was there ever any consideration of trying to pursue film in the academic world? Or
I think it all started when I was playing with my toys. Actually,
it all started.
Let's go way back. Was this yesterday or
this was yesterday?
Devastating. Humbling guest from day one.
Sorry.
I'm not ashamed of it.
No, me neither. I have all my stuffed animals on my bed. Anyway.
Continue.
But, yes. So I think I've always sort of had that urge to make a story, tell a story. I was doing it by myself when I was playing with my toys, with my Legos and stuff. And then when I was in high school, actually, I started out with pretty embarrassing, like, social experiment type videos.
Oh!
But they were all staged.
We should have gotten them for this episode.
I don't know if you can find them. I completely erased them. I don't think anyone can.
I'm trying to find them.
Can you describe one for us? Or what does a social experiment entail?
Okay, so in one of these videos... Oh God! I don't know if I should be doing this.
Well, only if you're comfortable. We can. We definitely don't have to dwell
like,
on it.
It was dumb stuff. Like, you know, I would talk to my friends, and you know, I would let them know in advance, and then I would go up to them with a camera, and I'll be like, you know, would you want to go on a date with me, or would you rather just like jump out of a airplane, blah blah blah, and then that sort of evolved into filmmaking as it is.
No, that as sounds, it does.
That and sounds really cool.
Honestly, it's a part that I would rather forget.
No, because we all come from our.
We have to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. We all have humble beginnings. I have my YouTube videos stuck online forever from when I was 12. So
yeah, that's sort of my conciliation. You know, some people have their Minecraft videos. Some people have their like other gaming or like I don't know, like fashion related videos.
Yeah,
this is my past.
And we accept you for it.
And thank you for being so brave to share it with us on Film Picnic today.
I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, too, like, people's Vine, that's an entire app and platform that existed that's now kind of memorialized as cringe. But now some of those Viners made so much money and they're famous now and are doing things. Like, maybe that's your Vine.
People ask you what you're doing and then they ask you how you did it. I just made that up right now.
Okay, so you were playing. You were like you've been a storyteller.
I would like self-proclaimed.
Yeah, but
no, I just described you as that. Yeah.
And after that, I made two short films in high school. I actually made a third, but I never ended up releasing it due to some issues. But I feel like in Turkey, filmmaking is not really a common thing. It's not. Not something that everyone is into. And I don't think there's a huge community there. So I was mostly just doing that by myself. I was like literally dragging my friends to be my films.
Yeah.
And after that, I kind of gave up on it a little bit. And then when I got back here, this place is super inspirational.
Vancouver, Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I was at one point I was just inspired. I was always writing screenplays like on the side, but I've never turned them into films. And then at one point, after a pretty devastating breakup, I was like, you know what? I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then
you gotta put it somewhere.
Exactly. That was a creative expression. Yes. You know, outlet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's beautiful. I was gonna say too. I randomly have a friend who grew up in Istanbul, and I remember her talking about always getting like weird pirated versions of American movies. She was like, oh, they're just like, I don't know, the circulation wasn't as great for media and film. And she, like, just being a kid, like, loved all the bright screen things. And she was describing to me getting, like, weird off-brand VHS tapes of the Avengers that were, like, the Revengers or something goofy like that.
I could see that. Up until the streaming platforms, I feel like it was tougher. I used to have, like, movie nights with my granddad, and he would get those off-brand films. So, you know, I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think that was... I agree. I can see where your friend is coming from.
Yeah. I wonder, like, what was the... When you were talking about making these guerrilla-style films in high school, what was the hardware that you were using? Was this just, like, your phone? You had a camera?
It started out with my phone, and then my mom got me, like, a... I honestly don't remember the brand, but, like, a small Sony, very, like, small camera, but it wasn't, like, a DSLR or anything. It was just, like, one of those...
Like a point-and-shoot type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I made my other phone with that, and then after that, yeah, I shot my last, like, the third film that I never released with a DSLR. But I basically had no equipment except a tripod, and I sort of made do.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that... just really speaks to self-motivation and how far that can take you. Because if you want to make it happen, who cares what kind of crappy camera you have? You're going to make it happen somehow.
I think, honestly, it's a pretty vulnerable state to be in, because you make a film with your phone, with maybe a tripod, and then you edit it on iMovie, and then you release it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, it's shitty.
It's a vulnerable state to be
but
in.
But yeah, it's you're putting your story out there, which... Is like
vision.
In retrospect, it means a lot. And some people, you know, some people made fun of my films.
What?
And I think that's
to
part
your face?
Of, not to my face, but from my like back. And honestly, I think that's one of the things that kind of like breaks your spirit. But in retrospect, now I can see that if I hadn't made those films, those shitty films, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm proud of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got to start somewhere. It's never going to be perfect, even 4 years into a filmmaking program. Like, I still find, I love the films I make, but I still a little bit find the filmmaking process a bit heartbreaking, because it's never exactly how you envisioned it, especially when you have, like, really low budget, you're independent.
Yeah.
You know, it is killing your darlings sometimes. Yeah. And,
I think I'm feeling safe in the space to disclose.
Oh, please.
I feel like my humble beginning with film was... You guys, like, ever get on iMovie and they had a...
The trailers.
150,000%. Which was crazy, because it started as Random School Project. Random School Project was like, okay. Which also was crazy because, like, how were we using iMovie on a school in a computer lab at a public school? I don't know how that was working. Or maybe I don't even know. Anyways, you know, but honestly, I don't even know if it was iMovie. That doesn't matter. some weird, like, trailer software, you know, with, like, all the very standardized music and the titles that, like, fly in from the corner of the screen.
100%.
And, I remember doing those things for class, and my friends and I were, like, filming this silly video, and then we were like, this is so fun. Let's make another one. And then by the end of the day, we had four of these, like, absolutely ridiculous iMovie trailer, and it was so much fun. I feel like
I'm so sad. When I was 12, I needed extra space in my computer, so I deleted all of my videos and movies that I ever made from when I was 5 years old. I've been making movies since I was five. I used to force all my friends, because no one else was interested.
Relatable.
I used to force all my, like, anything we would be playing, I'd be like, okay, but we're making a movie out of this, and I would, like, film it and edit it. My friends would begrudgingly oblige and be there. But yeah, I deleted it. And there was this one video I made at 11 or 10, which I wasn't proud of. But in hindsight, I'm like, oh my God, I wish I had it. It was a stop motion movie that I made on Photo Booth with my American Girl dolls. And I edited all the photos together, and I made it, like, I did a stop motion movie with my American Girl dolls. You know, the ones on YouTube that everyone, you know what I'm talking
crazy,
about?
Dude, yes. That's really impressive.
And I deleted it. But
I was
anyway.
Gonna quote a Vine. I think I know more about American Girl dolls than you do, genius.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know the Vine that you're referring to.
There is a devastating energy in this booth right now. You know what? You guys, I'm gonna send you a link, and then you're gonna
respect
realize.
The reference, though. It's like
I was very Vine forward. I was very Vine forward. That was I will say that was probably my. While I was making those iMovie trailers, Vine was my
Look
personality
at all
a little
those
bit.
Chickens.
Thank you, Hannah.
I know that
Thank
one.
Thank you. There we go. Let's talk about peace of mind.
Oh,
shall we?
You read my mind.
Yes.
Peace of mind. Yeah.
What was that?
That was the last one you made, right?
That was
no the
second
one last
before.
One.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm also curious to hear about Always and Forever because I feel like I haven't heard about it, but. Peace of mind.
There's so much we want to know. Yeah, just like what was that experience like overall?
Peace of mind was.
First of all, what's it about?
Okay, wait. Let me pull up the log line.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Log line, guys.
it's basically about this young man who returns to his home city to find his sister because you know they kind of lost contact and. Upon returning to a city, he sort of realizes that something is off, and it is set in this sort of dystopian, like, authoritarian government. And then...
It's kind of sci-fi, right?
It is, yeah. And basically, after realizing that something is off and somehow, you know, something is going on, he decides to sort of unveil what is going on. And it turns out that... Actually, I don't want to spoil it, but
okay. No spoilers.
It's something to do with this tech company and the government sort of like conspiring.
Hmm.
And yeah, he sort of unveils this chain of events.
Yeah.
I want to ask what was maybe different because Kill Your Darlings was the first film that you made in Vancouver.
Yes.
Is that
correct?
So in transitioning to something like Peace of Mind, was there any sense of... you know, maybe growth or upgrade, just kind of having an experience making a film and then going into the second one with more knowledge? Like, what was that?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's still happening, I would say. Like, I made huge mistakes in Kill Your Darlings, and then I tried to improve those in Peace of Mind, and I did. And then I made huge mistakes in Peace of Mind, and then I tried to fix them in Always Forever. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure... I've also made mistakes in Always Forever, and now I'm going to fix them in my next short film.
The next project. Yeah. Great. Would you mind, like, talking about maybe what one of those mistakes is? Yeah.
I think one thing, I made that mistake about sound in Kill Your Darlings, where it's such an underrated
You forget,
aspect.
But it's so important.
It is really important. So I guess I didn't really utilize the necessary sound equipment in Kill Your Darlings. So some of the scenes, like, the sound was just off. And in order to fix that, I sort of got some equipment for Peace of Mind that was slightly better. Actually, way better.
What equipment did you use?
I don't remember. I would say we used a Zoom recorder. It was actually Ethan's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I can picture. Yeah.
Yes. I honestly forgot the name. But yeah. So it was definitely an upgrade to what we used. And then in Always Forever, while saving up, I knew that sound was going to be a huge part of the budget. So I saved up enough money for actually working with, you know, people who had experience in sound mixing and boom operating. And the equipment that we used for Always Forever was also an upgrade to Peace of Mind.
Yeah.
So I'm slowly scaling things up. But then it takes time because I feel like filmmaking, you know, if I was making music, I'm not underestimating it, but it's way more self-reliant.
Yeah.
So if you have an instrument, you sort of just like tune and then make your own music. But for filmmaking, it's a team effort.
It requires maybe at least 10 people.
Exactly.
At least.
And it would be helpful if you had like a proper budget as well.
Yeah.
So like in order to scale things up, I feel like it's a really slow process.
100%. And guys, like a proper budget in filmmaking is like what? A project under $5 million, a feature film is considered low budget.
Yeah.
Let's just
Which is shocking.
Consider that low budget. And then like what is it like 500,000 is like micro budget or something like that. So yeah, things cost a lot of money and it's very impressive when you're able to do things without without that scale of a gigantic budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think those skills are also super, super important. This is kind of something I mentioned with in last episode of, like, some film schools will give you all of the equipment you need, which is wonderful, and you get to make some really pretty looking films. Mm. But then when you leave that space, how are you going to do that again? How are you going to, do you know how to raise that money? Do you know how to build that team? Do you know how to look for the type of equipment that maybe isn't like a Panavision lens, but is something that looks great as well?
Yeah.
Those kinds of skills, I think, are so, so, so important. And also just to be flexible with what works and what doesn't work.
For sure.
Yeah.
Just on the topic of equipment, I would be interested to know, for the Indievision productions that you guys are, you know, helping to produce, is equipment rent, like, is, are you guys always renting equipment from the same place? Is it people bringing their own equipment? Is it like individual producers that are contributing? How does that work?
I think it's a mix of all of the above. It's a large community, so a lot of people have different equipment. I also have a, you know, small lighting kit that I, you know, people can freely use.
Mm.
I think we mostly share. And then if there's a particular, you know, light or equipment, like a dolly that we need, we usually get it from a rental house.
Right.
And then obviously because we made a few productions, we have made friends with a few rental houses. So
important again, you guys, building those connections.
Absolutely,
be a pleasant person to work with.
That's so true. And yeah, obviously because we're being friendly, they're also friendly, and you know, they often hook us up with discounts and stuff. So that's primarily how it functions.
Mm. Great. Yeah.
Question, what other projects do you have under your belt right
What's
now?
Cooking?
What's coming up
What's
for
next?
You? For you or for Indievision, or if there's anything that you think you want to plug, talk about?
I think...
Any festivals coming up?
It's funny because I feel like you never really stop. I don't know how
ever.
You guys feel, but like there's
ever,
always a
ever.
Story to tell. Yeah. So like besides the 5 short films that we're producing by Indievision, I started working on my first feature script. I think, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my short films and I've learned a lot, and I'm still not perfect, but I also figured, you know, you're never going to be perfect. So at
Ever.
One point, you got to do it.
Not to plug myself here, but I've learned a lot about grant applications and I've been thinking about features and all of that. So if you want any support in that aspect,
I would love that,
in raising money and doing all that kind of stuff, I'm here to support.
No, yeah, you're the pro. You know, you're the person.
A cool 5 mil.
Just a 5 mil. But yeah, that's so awesome.
Absolutely.
Have you started writing that script yet?
I'm outlining it right now.
Wait,
and,
this is so exciting.
You know, I'm not going to lie. Like, am I allowed to swear, by the way?
We can tolerate it. We discourage use of the F bomb.
Okay, yeah. I'm definitely crapping my pants.
Oh, that's
about
you're
it.
Allowed to say crap.
I'm definitely, let me just censor it. I'm crapping my pants, but it is a process, and I think I don't think it's gonna be perfect. I think there's gonna be plenty of flaws, but I gotta start from somewhere.
Yeah.
So, just gotta try.
Yeah.
Are you hoping to use the Indievision community to do that feature? Or are you hoping
I think it depends on where I am at the time.
So true.
If I'm in, say, Toronto, I think I'll have to, you know, work with other
people. You're going
to
go do a master's. That's crazy.
But otherwise, I feel like, there's a good chance that if I'm here, I would love to get the help of Indievision people.
Awesome. Amazing. Well,
thank you for sharing your thoughts with us and your time and energy. This has been so lovely.
Thanks for having
what
me.
What a wonderful way for us to start the day. We have a little.
Since this
segment.
Is a picnic, after all,
yes.
We're not technically allowed to eat in the space, but a little birdie told us what your favorite movie snack is. And so please.
Inside informant.
Please.
Please open the basket.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Odyssey, I really appreciate that.
Did we get. Okay. Interesting flavor. It's seasonal.
I really appreciate that.
American treat. Describe for the listeners who can't see right now.
Yes. That
Tibet just opened the picnic basket.
It's a Sour Patch Kids with apple harvest.
Yeah.
Soft and chewy candy.
Ooh, I'm so curious.
Will it be delicious? Does it look radioactive? Also, yes.
Yeah.
But Sour Patch Kids.
That's part of the
aren't
fun.
They, yeah, they're always a little bit radioactive.
Oh, yeah. So now you're equipped for your next movie night. Now you have a little snack.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's our What's in the Basket segment.
We need to get a little sound for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, we...
And somehow make it a little more climactic?
Yeah. We'll work on it. This was fun. This was great.
It was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, everyone, like, yeah, let's just...
Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Yeah. Thank you for being here, Tibet. We're so grateful.
I appreciate you. So lucky to have you here.
Yeah. So excited to see where IndieVision goes. It's already grown so much. So proud of you.
The same thing with Film Picnic. This is a great platform for you know, everyone.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
We'll plug your projects.
We'll continue to plug your projects.
We'll things. Wait, I was going to say, too, we can, listeners, you can find links for... IndieVision's page in the description of today's episode.
Yes, you can.
We'll link some things and maybe, we'll give a little promotion boost to the projects that you guys have in development right now, because I believe those are crowdfunding already.
Yes.
Those are starting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
If listeners, if you want to support independent film, now's the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Support IndieVision.
Yay.
Okay, listeners, if you are listening to this live, please enjoy the rest of your day. And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at FLMPicnic. Or you can find the recordings of our episode online at the CITR Radio website or on Spotify if you search Film Picnic. And we will see you next week on Film Picnic as we debunk the film industry with meaningful conversation,
one picnic at a time. And on another note, coming up next on CITR, we have Discolly with Ollie.
Yay!
Take care, guys.
Bye.